We are focused on this Florida Panthers closeout game against the Carolina Hurricanes, a team that has not won an Eastern Conference Finals game since 1995.
Oh, that's insane.
It's crazy.
Oh, man, I didn't realize it was I wasn't even sure they've had a franchise for that long. I mean, how long were they someone else, the Carolina Hurricanes? Have they all
been in Carolina? Yeah.
So they were an expansion.
They were the Whalers. No, they were up in
so they were the Whalers before. All right. I can't keep track in Hartford hockey cuz like the Winnipeg Jets used to be the Atlanta Thrashers and then they're probably going to bring the Thrashers back. So it's confusing. Who's expansion? Who used to be somewhere else?
Yeah, Hartford Whalers. They were the Hartford Whalers for a while. So no, it's actually been 15 years. 1995. I've given them too long of a time. It's been 15 years since the Carolina Hurricanes have won an Eastern Conference playoff game.
Oh, okay.
That's 15 in a row. 15 games in a row they have lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, of course, that's not every year, but that's over 15-year period. So not very good right there. Florida Panthers just seem to have all the answers, and we are looking forward to it tonight at 8 o'clock. I'm guessing if you're a Carolina Hurricanes fan, you are not making this trip to come see the final, most likely the final game of the year.
I mean, I suppose if you're a Carolina fan, like you're watching the game, but you've got a short fuse, right? That at what point do you turn it off? You fall down 3-0, 3-1. You're looking for, you know, reruns of something else on TV, or you're flipping over to the NBA because you've seen this song and dance before. This team swept you 2 years ago, although then it was all one goal games and overtime games. This time it's been blowout city. So if you're a Carolina fan, you have a plan B tonight. Oh. Something else you're going to watch in case it gets ugly.
So, yeah, tonight I'm out at Funky Buddha. We're going to be doing trivia, but they're going to have the sound of the game on. So I'm going to be dancing around that. It's going to be kind of like a watch party trivia night. My dude Mike's going to be behind the bar. Sam going to be serving up their great beer, maple bacon coffee porter, Funky Buddha. It's going to be a huge watch party trivia night. I would figure if you're a Carolina Hurricanes fan, you're not going out to watch this game. You're staying in because...
No.
You don't want your emotions to get the most of you, and also you want the ability to turn off the game or turn away from the game whenever things possibly start to get a little nasty for you.
And also, you go out to watch it somewhere, and like you're wearing your Carolina Hurricanes jersey. If that game gets ugly, then you've got to be walking around in that jersey getting, especially if you're in South Florida, you're getting heckled by Panthers fans. It's like... Yeah, you know, you want to be at home. You want to be at home, or you want to have wardrobe flexibility. If you go out, maybe wear something under your jersey that you can switch out of it if need be to save your own embarrassment.
Yeah, but even if you're living in Raleigh, like, this is not one of those games you go out and watch. You don't make an event of it. I mean, that's a testament to how good Florida's been, the Panthers, but also a testament to how inept they've been. It's just like, I can't go out and try to act like I'm celebrating. And even if... Let's just say for some crazy reason they do win tonight, you're still down 3-1 in a series with a mountain to climb. So not even time to even start celebrating. It's time to just lay low and just hope for the best, I guess, if you're a Carolina Hurricanes fan.
Well, okay, let's think about it this way. Let's put our shoes on the other foot here. What has to happen for Carolina to win tonight and, you know, at least extend the series? Because I think they're going to go back to Frederik Andersen in goal tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when you do bench a goalie, you kind of push that button and he comes out stronger the next night out. I think Andersen has to be lights out in net tonight, standing on his head, because you know the Panthers. And it's not just the volume of shots the Panthers put on net. I mean, quality grade A scoring chances that they create, which really cause the goalies to move laterally and take them off their game and off their net. So Andersen has got to be lights out tonight. I think Carolina needs to come out fast, take like a 2-0 lead, and then just hope their goalie is just standing on his head for the rest of the game and that they can kind of hold on. I think that's the recipe for a Carolina victory. I don't see them coming from behind and winning this game tonight. They've got to have the hot goaltender. They've got to have the fast start. And they've also, I think, got to hope that they can have a lot of power play time tonight, because, you know, the Panthers are so lethal at even strength You want to try to take him out of their rhythm that way. So you have to hope you get some friendly whistles tonight as well.
Yeah, they have to get out early and often, like a 2-0 lead in the first period, to start believing that they can even hang with the Panthers. And then, of course, the goaltenders have to stand on their head. And even at that, you know, they get down. I'll tell you now, they get down in this game, they're done. I mean, the second the Panthers get up 1-0, you can turn the TV. I hate to be like that. You can turn the radio off, turn the TV off. Don't, because you want to celebrate and you want to have a great time as a Panthers fan. Yeah. But I just don't see the Carolina Hurricanes rallying down 3-0, being totally outmatched, haven't won an Eastern Conference Finals game in 15 years, them rallying from behind and making a run. You know, it's just, and like I said, even if you do win the game, well, you're now 3-1 in a series to a team that's better than you, that has a lot of experience and knows how to win games, and it's only a bounce away from winning another game. So it's like you're facing a tall task.
And I also think, and this could be counterproductive for them, because a lot of times, Dan, you're down big in a series, hockey, we're talking here. What do you do to try and spark a momentum change? You get scrappy and you get physical. But if Carolina does that, that's going to blow up in their faces, because the Panthers are scrappier and they're more physical than you. So if you do try to kind of get things into the mud and maybe take a couple of cheap shots, like sometimes that works when it comes to, oh, we can make the series a little more physical. We can try to get in a big fight to spark something. But everybody on the Panthers can kick their asses. So it's like, what do you do? Like, I think Carolina has to play like just the type of finesse, perfect hockey game, no cheap shots, you know, don't commit any penalties of your own. Don't even give the Panthers a reason to have Matthew Tkachuk out there hunting for heads. Like, don't even give us an excuse.
Yeah, the Panthers are so perfectly built for the playoffs because they're as talented as anyone. So if they get ahead of you in a series, how are you going to get back at them? You got to be physical. You got to muck it up. You got to make it a brawl. But that's playing right into the Panthers' hands, because no one is as big and as strong and as nasty as the Panthers. So your way of getting back in the series is actually advantage Florida Panthers. So, yeah, you got a really, really tough spot. 305-567-0560 is the number if you want to text in. I saw we got a text earlier from 786. Question, who would you guys rather see the Panthers play, Edmonton or Dallas, coming out of the Western Conference?
I mean, Dallas, because I think Edmonton, I believe, is a better team with better superstar power. I mean, you obviously the Panthers, you know, they beat McDavid and Draisaitl in a series last year. That happened. Not saying it can't happen again. But then also, if you face Edmonton a second straight time, it's like it'd be hard to beat the same team two straight years in the finals. So my main priority, and I know you agree with this, Dan, no matter who comes out of their 7-game series, get as tired, maybe a couple of overtime games before this is done, get as tired as possible. But if I had to pick one, I'd probably rather see Dallas.
Yeah, and that's another thing, getting back to work with Doug Plagans a lot, obviously, on the Panthers Insider Show on the weekends and just here and there at the radio station. He says it's not a coincidence that a lot of teams that make these long runs in the playoffs and win a Stanley Cup, they have a couple of 4-1, 4-0 series tied in there. That little bit of rest doesn't seem that big, but in the grand scheme of things, it really is big. And that's one of those numbers you do have to look at when you're eventually going to probably see two teams, Panthers, maybe Edmonton, hopefully the Stars, in the finals. What has their road to the finals been like? And if the Panthers have on their resume 4-1, 4-3, 4-0, you start saying, ooh, that looks really good, really good. Especially, like we said, a team that's played this much. But yeah, the Panthers, you have to just believe that they can do what they need to do tonight and find a way. But Stars, the reason I fear Edmonton is that revenge factor, like you said, Dono. The fact that they think that they can play with the Panthers because they got down 3-0 in the series. They came back 3-0. You know, Panthers had home ice. We'll try to change all that. You get the star power, and we know star power carries you in the playoffs. Sometimes maybe you get a little extra call for the Stars here. The whole Canada thing, where like, well, Panthers won it last year. Let Edmonton, not let, but you know what I mean. Edmonton can win it this year. It'll end the Canadian drought. It just seems like they have a little bit more momentum. But then again, Panthers are the Panthers, and Panthers also know that they can beat Edmonton. The Panthers also know they've got stars. The Panthers also know that they've got a lot of things going for them. But once again, I'll take on the Dallas Stars just for variety, number one, but also I think it's probably, for all the reasons I said, a better matchup for the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, and plus, like, let's be real here for you know, the players and all the crew that have to travel between both spots. I mean, what is there to do in Edmonton?
I've heard nightmares of how hard it is to get to Edmonton.
Yeah, like, you go over to Dallas, you get great barbecue, great Tex-Mex. Everybody seems pretty nice over there in Texas. I mean, I'm sure everyone's really nice in Edmonton. That's the whole Canadian thing. But, I mean, it's like, Edmonton? I mean, if I'm going to go to, like, send me to Toronto or Montreal, Vancouver, if I'm at Edmonton?
Yeah.
Like, there's anything to do there.
No direct flights to Edmonton. There's over 14 direct flights from Miami or South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, to Dallas. And they're on.
Yeah, it's like half the flights. If you're at MIA or Fort Lauderdale, like, half the flights is Dallas, Atlanta. It's like that's where half the flights go to.
Personally, me, if I'm a fan and I want to make a road trip, I would want to go to Edmonton because I've never been there, and I'll never go outside of this reason to go see the Panthers try to win a championship. I mean, I've been to Dallas enough. I care so little about Dallas. But also, if I were a Panthers fan this year, I'd maybe want Dallas just for the change of scenery. That would be kind of more of what I'd like, because you don't need to go. I don't need to probably go twice to Edmonton.
I've only been to Dallas once. I was there for a few days, and like, I had some really good barbecue one day, really good Tex-Mex another day, and then I went to this like chicken wing joint downtown. And Dan, like, these were like whatever chickens created these wings. It was like a mutant. It was like the size of an ostrich, like the size of the chicken wings that they served to me. And I remember thinking, like, because they were like, "Oh, what do you want? Five wings?" I'm like, "Five. Give me 10 wings."
Yeah.
And it was like the size of like 50 wings. I could see why they were offering me five. The 10 was too much.
Man, everything's bigger in Texas, I'll tell you that much.
That's right.
Oh, man. Athlon Sports recently released its prediction on where teams will finish at the end of this upcoming college football season. They had the Miami Hurricanes finishing 10th. Overall this past season.
Oh, overall.
Yeah. Okay. So if you do the math, they should be in the college football playoffs and probably in the mix with the ACC. I'm guessing they have some question marks, of course, with that defense after last year, but you got Corey Heatherman coming in, Carson Beck coming off the surgery for quarterback. We'll have to wait and see. On 3.com has listed the Miami Florida game September 20th as its eighth best non-conference game of 2025. So I guess they're kind of considering the Notre Dame game a conference game because of the weirdness of Notre Dame.
ACC. I think they have that one fourth. I think I saw that same list. I think they have Miami versus Notre Dame, I think, fourth, and Miami versus Florida eighth. So the Hurricanes have two in there, and those are both huge games, Dan, when it comes to non-con. And you know, to have, and by the way, those two games are going to be within the first 4 weeks of the season. So like, part of me feels like, you know, that first month of the year is going to like make or break the season. But then at the same time, I think the big issue, with Miami in recent years hasn't really been how they've started the season. It's been about how they finished it. So it's like, You could see a scenario, and I'm not saying this will happen, because Notre Dame especially is going to be really tough, and Florida could be tough as well. Thankfully, those are both home games, but tough games. But like, even if Miami were to start the season 4-0 with wins in those two games, what's been Miami's issue for many years, even predating Mario Cristobal, has been how they handle the conference schedule, October and November. And even like last year, you know, why did Miami fall short of their college football playoff and ACC championship? Because they went 2-2 in November. They started the season great, 9-0 start. They didn't finish the season. So I think last 4 or 5 years, they've been at 500 or under 500 in the month of November. That's what really needs to change. Finish the season like you started.
So let's take a sojourn through the city and see where there could be some possible heroics, but also some possible missteps. Of course, no one's going to be overlooking game number one, Miami, Notre Dame, Catholics versus Convicts, big time rivalry, national game of the week, August 31st, 7:30 kickoff, Hard Rock Stadium, right here on 560 WQAM. Carson Beck should be untethered. At the same time, we talked about this yesterday, Notre Dame has a redshirt freshman quarterback starting his first ever college game on the road, hostile territory. Man, this is going to be a heavyweight bout, Dono.
And I think this game is going to be on either side. It's going to be won or lost in the trenches. And because I think it could be, you know, for Notre Dame having a first-time starting quarterback, CJ Carr, who we think is really good, but that's going to be his first start. You know, is he going to be able to carve Miami up? Maybe last year's defense, he probably would have carved it up, but Miami's got a lot of new players in the secondary, a new defensive coordinator. Hurricanes are going to try to put him under constant pressure. And then on, you know, obviously I'm pretty comfortable with Carson Beck with his experience level, but it's his first Miami start. And yeah, I know Notre Dame lost some players from their secondary last year, but no, they still have a great defense this year. And they remember in the national semifinal game against Penn State, Drew Aller completed zero passes to wide receivers in that game. Notre Dame had them on lockdown. So I think it may come down this one to who can run the football better and who wins the battles of the trenches. You know, I think Miami's a small underdog everywhere I look, anywhere between +1.5 to +2.5. So they expect the game to be close. I think it's going to be close. But yeah, that's an opportunity to make a statement to start your season.
So let's say Miami controls the line of scrimmage, gets there out of there with a win, which I do expect them to, because like you said, it is in the trenches. It might come down to the running game. It might come down to the quarterback experience. And in those cases, you check the box for the Hurricanes. Then you get two very winnable games, Bethune-Cookman the following week, and South Florida, who we beat pretty badly last year. So at this point, you could be 3-0, and then you have a little bit of a gauntlet. You got to go Florida, like we said, September 20th, coming to Miami. Then you get a bye week. Then you go to Florida State. Now, Florida did show some signs of life last year at the end of the season. You don't exactly know how good they're going to be this year. And then, of course, Miami, Florida State, it's a rivalry. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen in those crazy games. So you kind of got to look at those and say, that's winning the state of Florida. That's the Florida State Championship. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, Miami was able to win that last year. You know, they beat both Florida and Florida State
and South Florida,
and South Florida as well. You know, for Florida this year, I think they're going to be good. Especially a lot of it is going to depend on how big of a step DJ Lagway takes, their quarterback. Cause you know, he really came on in the second half of last year, to the point where the DJ Lagway hype train is wild, right? You look at every, you know, based on, you know, a little bit that he did last year, you know, when he took over for Graham Mertz, and then Lagway missed some time with injury. So small sample size, but everybody's got him like in their top 10, sometimes top 5 quarterback list for this coming year. And, you know, Lagway, I know Florida fans know this, but maybe some Miami and Florida State fans who haven't kept tabs, like he, much like Carson Beck, he wasn't able to throw during spring football, nursing an injury of his own. Now, maybe you could say for Lagway, he already knows his teammates and he's not brand new to that offense, so it's a little different than Carson Beck just arriving in Miami, not being able to throw. But Lagway also has not had the benefit of a full offseason, so we'll see what happens next year. But, you know, I think Miami's going to have enough firepower to win that game at home against Florida, but it's probably going to be closer than the 41-17 from last year.
Yeah, I expect Florida to take a step up this year. But let's say Miami is as good as advertised. They get through those games. They're undefeated. They're 5-0. Here's where you got to hold your breath a little bit, Dono. You get into the meat of the ACC season, and there's always that room for a hiccup, and it comes right away, October 17th. Luckily, though, you get Louisville coming to town. You get a home game against Louisville, and then you get a not-so-good Stanford team that's kind of, I'm guess, kind of reeling right now with the whole coaching situation and everything. You don't have to go to the West Coast. They come here also. So those are two games that you feel more confident that Stanford, you might have a chance to win that one. Louisville's the one where you better come out ready, because Louisville always has some pretty darn good talent, but luckily you do get them at home.
I mean, well, Stanford, like on paper, looks really bad. And they, you know, they had, and it's weird because they're going to have Frank Reich, former NFL head coach, is going to be their interim coach for 1 year, but they had to fire their previous coach, Troy Taylor. They just had to, in March, they fired him because there was a scandal, which is like, March is an awful time to make a coaching change.
Yeah.
Because of just the timing is terrible. And I think it was during spring ball. And, you know, they had a lot of players leave through the transfer portal. It's hard enough to get into Stanford with the I think Stanford could be like 2 or 3 wins bad this year. But then, yeah, before that, the big challenge is home against Louisville. I mean, Miami survived Louisville in a shootout. It was like 52-45 last year on the road. Quarterback change for Louisville, but I think they might be even better off with Miller Moss. I think he's got a lot of potential there. Louisville has one of the best running back duos in the country, especially Isaac Brown at the top of that rotation. Good offensive line. So, I think that to me is going to be one of the great running back showcases that the ACC can offer. Because then on Miami side, you've got Mark Fletcher, Jordan Lyle, and Chamar Brown, who just transferred in, a really good player from North Dakota State. Miami's offensive line versus Louisville in the trenches. So that's going to be a tough, like that's the type of game where you say anything can happen. Miami's at home. They're probably going to be favored, but that's definitely a possible slip up against Louisville.
And as we go down the list of games, it doesn't get less scary. You go to, speaking of Dallas, SMU November 1st, yeah. And then Syracuse comes to town. And we know how scary Syracuse can be on our schedule. Does SMU take a step back this year? We know Rhett Lashley, the head coach, he's very familiar with us here in Miami. We're very familiar with him. You know he can scheme up some great offenses. And then, of course, Syracuse is always just such a tricky game for the Miami Hurricanes, even though you do have the luxury of playing them at home.
Yeah, I could see SMU taking a slight step back. Their schedule is tougher this year than it was last year. They lost some of their weapons on both sides of the ball, but Kevin Jennings, their quarterback, I think he's really good and really dangerous from a dual threat standpoint. And you know, Miami historically has struggled against dual threat quarterbacks. Going to Dallas is not going to, like, that's definitely a possible slip up game. I think Miami's going to get revenge against Syracuse this year. You know, that's the game. That loss
cost
last year, 21-point lead, that cost them everything. That cost Miami ACC championship appearance, cost them college football playoff appearance because they probably would have gotten to the CFP potentially even if they lost in the ACC championship. It cost them everything. I don't think Syracuse is going to be nearly as good this year. They lost a lot. I mean, Kyle McCord had – people like Kyle McCord was like more, he put up more passing yards last year than Cam Ward somehow. So they lose him. Steve Angeli, they brought him over from Notre Dame. I think he can be pretty good there, but they also lost their top weapons in the passing game, you know, Aronde Gadsden the second and Trevor Pena, who transferred to Penn State. So I don't think Syracuse will be as good. Like, Miami should be able to get vengeance at home this year.
And then you get NC State, who is okay. Do you get the good NC State? Do you get the bad NC State? Do you get the NC State that always plays Miami very good? That's a tricky game, too.
Yeah, well, NC State, like, I think their offense is going to be pretty good this year. And they actually, this is one of those games where, so their quarterback, and NC State's coming to Miami. Their quarterback, C.J. Bailey, quarterbacked at Chaminade, where he had JoJo Trader, who's on Miami now, Jeremiah Smith, you know, best receiver in the country at Ohio State. Those were, and Bailey like took over kind of halfway through the year last year as a true freshman, and he really grew into that job. Like, and he's going to be playing in South Florida. I have a lot of family and friends, so would not surprise me if C.J. Bailey plays pretty well in that game for NC State. NC State's defense, though, I think it's going to be really bad this year. And they didn't have a good season last year, but it was like a transitional season for them. They made two coordinator changes this year, NC State. So NC State, I don't fear them too much on paper. We'll find out once they actually come to town. But I don't fear them too much, but I kind of do fear C.J. Bailey, the South Floridian. You know, Miami probably didn't recruit him hard enough for his liking, so there's a chip on the shoulder. would not surprise me if he comes in and has a good game.
And I say this with no gladness about the NC State game. That will be senior day. That will be the home closer.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is where the schedule starts to really get dicey. Your final two games of the year on the road at Virginia Tech, November 22nd, then at Pittsburgh, November 29th. Yeah. Dono, hold on is all I can say. You don't know how good or how healthy any of these teams are going to be at this point. You don't know how focused. You don't know how much pressure is going to be on these teams. And it's so far out with so much time and so much that can happen in between. You just don't like the fact that you end the season on two road games against formidable opponents and teams that could have a lot to play for, that could have nothing to play for, which could be equally scary in Virginia Tech, followed by Pittsburgh.
Well, and what's scariest about that road trip to Virginia Tech is, you know, the time for the game is still TBA. If Blacksburg is different at night, if they do, and maybe they won't, but if they make that a primetime game and you have that Enter Sandman and then Virginia Tech, you remember the way Miami beat them last year on the controversial Hail Mary, which I thought was incomplete. I thought that they got the call right. The rest of America was like, Miami stole that game. So that's going to be on the top of Virginia Tech's minds this year. You know, they still have Kyren Drones. I think Kyren Drones only had one good game last year, and it was against Miami. He was really good against Miami last year. So that road trip concerns me a little bit for a couple of reasons. And then, you know, we play Pitt at the end of the year on the road at Pitt, which is, first of all, playing your final two games of the year on the road. It's weird scheduling, but I don't know what to make of Pitt right now, Dan, because you talk about a tale of two teams. Pittsburgh last year started the season 6-0, and then they ended the season, I think, 6-7. Ugh. Like they started with a 6-game winning streak and ended with a 7-game losing streak. But when they were winning games, they had a linebacker core. I'm not sure if all of them are back this year, but they had like one of the better linebacker groups in the ACC. They called them the Sharks. You know, they were forcing fumbles. They were creating interceptions. Like, their linebackers were flying all over the field. That's a Pat Narduzzi trademark. And so, yeah, I don't know what to think of Pitt right now, but obviously going on the road to Pittsburgh Thanksgiving weekend, it might be snowing. It's done that before. It's not an easy way to end the year. There's a lot of trap games on there. Now, if Miami is as good as I think their collection of talent is, you should be able to take care of business and win the vast majority of these games, right? But there are some tricky road trips on that schedule.
Yeah, and like you said, you don't know what this Miami team is going to look like the last two games of the year. You don't know what Virginia Tech, like you said, Pitt started off 6-0 and then lost the rest of the games of the season. You don't know. It's just even really too hard to prognosticate what's going to be happening, what the weather could be like. There's so many variables, but you do know this. Two games to end the season on the road. You win those two games and you get into the ACC championship game, you will have earned your medal. But we're more worried about kickoff, 7:30, August 31st, Labor Day weekend, Hard Rock Stadium, Miami, Notre Dame. I'm so excited. This is going to be a great one.
That place is going to be crazy.
With all of
what people say about, oh, empty stadium, all that, we will show them, because that place is going to be full. It is going to be loud. The last time Notre Dame came to town, it was the loudest Hard Rock Stadium has ever been. Like, Dan, I have been to concerts there. I've been to a ton of big Dolphin games, primetime Dolphin games at Hard Rock Stadium. That building has never been as loud as it was on that Saturday night, October of 2017. When Miami beat the brakes off of Notre Dame, like that play, like I think I have permanent hearing loss from that game. Like, it still hasn't recovered. It was so loud.
Telling you, if I'm not working here at the radio station, I will be out there loud and proud tailgating and trying to get into that game as best as possible. That's how big it is. Happy Memorial Day from the Joe Rose Show. Dan Day, Alex Dono with you, Joe Rose, Danny Rabinowitz, and basically the entire radio station outside of you and I, taking the day off. I'm not kidding. I just walked through the building. I could be naked right now. It would not matter.
And I'm actually surprised you're not naked right now. Well, you're showing a lot of restraint.
You didn't see me during the commercial break. Nothing more invigorating and enlivening than getting naked at your work while no one's around. But I just did the math, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. This marks my 26th year of being at a broadcast company, whether it's radio or TV, working on holidays.
Well, that's incredible considering you're 28 years old, right?
It's tough, man. It really is. You know, like the first 10 years when you're in broadcasting, you don't care. Just anytime, anywhere, yeah. Whatever you need, I'll do it. Then the next 10 years, you're more transitioned into a higher up position and you can't find anybody to work. And then now I've just given up. It's just part of my life. I've done it now for 20 years. Why not now? Just it's a holiday. I'm here by myself working, get to hang out with you. And also, it's also cool because I know there are a lot of people working today. And I like to let people know that I'm the common man. I'm not the common man. If you see me on the weekends, you definitely know that. But I'm with you. Like, look, some of us have to work, or some of us work on these holidays. We don't have that luxury. And we're there with you, man. And we're glad to be here with you.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about like the different phases when you're in broadcasting. Like early on, like you want to work every holiday because that's like an opportunity to get on the air. Those opportunities may be scarce early on. And then you start to reach a point where like, do I really want to be working holidays? I'll find someone else for it. But then like in my case, it also I've reached a point in my life where I enjoy doing this. And I know, you know, I know people could say, well, of course, like you get to talk sports for a living. It's the greatest job ever. You're right. There were some years of my life where I didn't necessarily appreciate it as much as I should or think about it that way. But now I'm at a point where it's like, yeah, I have the opportunity to. And also hanging out with Dan Day. He's one of the more laid back, cool dudes out there. Being able to talk sports with Dan Day for 4 hours. I don't care if it's a holiday or what, man. This is just fun. I'm living the dream.
Oh, I always look forward to just hanging out with Alex Dono all this time. It's been great. It's wonderful. And that's what I wanted to ask you. You got a busy day today. You're not just mailing it in. You've got a full day. But is there any time for some good stuff? Like, first of all, let's go through the nuts and bolts of how busy your day is going to be. What's going on work-wise? And then we'll get into some of the cool stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, being on here with you, it as much as I'm enjoying it, it's throwing my timing off a little bit. So when I put out an episode of Locked On Canes later today, it's going to be a little later. We usually put them out at around 11:30 a.m. It's probably going to be more in like the 12:30, 1 p.m. range. But I'm going to be talking today about, you know, players who are reportedly excelling in the offseason workouts at Miami, which includes Mohamed Touré, a linebacker that Miami added in the transfer portal, he's doing this insane sand workout that was put on video where he's like cutting and pivoting, which is really cool to see for a guy who was out last year with a torn ACL. He is fully physically recovered from that. You know, so he's someone who's excelling. You know, one of the reasons why the episode's going to come out a little later today is I think around 1 p.m., we're going to find out like the full bracket for the NCAA baseball tournament, which Miami is expected to make. Like they started the season terribly. They surged, then they faded at the end of the year, but they are likely going to make the postseason. So once we find out the seeding and where they're going to go for the regional, we're going to talk a little bit about that with the baseball team. And so we'll have Locked On Canes later today. Then I'm also going to be hosting late this afternoon, Locked On ACC, with Kenton Gibbs from Locked On Wolfpack. We're going to, you know, talk about probably bring up a couple of those rivalry games, not the non-conference games that you mentioned, the top 10. We'll talk a little ACC football and baseball later on today on Locked On ACC. So I've only got two more shows coming up. It could be worse.
Are you doing anything for the food-wise or celebration-wise for the Memorial Day, or is it just there's too much going on right now?
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to go a little light for the rest of the week because I'm going to be in Europe for like a month. So, you know, I'm trying to normally on Memorial Day. Yeah. I'd be grilling. I'd be going crazy, but I'm going to eat a lot. I might have a salad today because I'm trying to save room for all the French and Italian food that I'm going to be eating.
I don't blame you on that. So usually growing up in the South, like New Orleans, what you do on Memorial Day, no matter what holiday it is, you shoot off a ton of fireworks. It doesn't matter if it's Memorial Day, Labor Day.
Really?
Thanksgiving Day. Oh, no, you shoot
any
fireworks.
Holiday.
Yeah, you got to blow up part of the country, really? Man, that you're part
it's
of.
It's hilarious.
You usually do some grilling, do some beer drinking, but today I am nonstop. I'm here with you, Dono, till 10 o'clock, And then I got to kind of get some things ready. I'm going out to 26 Degree Brewing in Pompano Beach. They're having their Memorial Day celebration. I'm going to help MC that. And then tonight I've got Funky Buddha trivia and the Panthers game at the same time. And probably wondering, what are you going to be eating? What are you going to be drinking? Honestly, 26 Degree Brewing, they've got a new kitchen. I'm going to tell them, bring me out. Just keep it coming. Some tequenos or whatever else you want to bring. Let me know. During the day at 26, I usually, when I go there and work on Wednesdays, I do my Zico's Rage Stout. But to start stouts at noon, 1 o'clock, you're going to have to probably pace yourself a little more. So I'm going to do more of the eating. I might go with some of the sours that they have, kind of, you know, lighten up a little bit. And then they got some live bands. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be fun. And then, like I said, go over to Funky Buddha where my dude Mike behind the bar probably going to bring me some maple bacon coffee porters. And I'll call out trivia questions and keep an eye on the Panthers game. And then that's my Memorial Day. That's kind of what we're going to be doing. So it's a good chance for us, you know, to stay busy, but at the same time, still kind of celebrate and have some of the finer points in life.
Although I need to get to New Orleans for like any random holiday, set fireworks at every holiday. My son would love that. My 7-year-old loves New Year's Eve, 4th of July. When we get the cheap fireworks, we set them off in the driveway. Like, he's so disappointed because I had to explain to him, because we're going to be in Europe for 4th of July. And he's like, oh, well, we're going to set off fireworks. I'm like, well, they don't celebrate 4th of July in Europe. That's an American only thing. So he doesn't care. Like, we're going to find some fireworks in Italy and set them off anyway.
Are you going to be in France July 14th?
No, we're not. We're going to be out of France by then. Yeah, we're not going to be there for the Bastille. I've been in Paris once for Bastille, which is like, basically, it's just a nightmare of trap. Like, you can't go anywhere because they got parades down all the streets. I mean, isn't that? Aren't they? Correct me if I'm wrong, but they're celebrating decapitations on that day. Like, that's when they cut Marie Antoinette's head off and Louis the 14th.
Yeah, and then
a little morbid.
And then they let prisoners.
Also, the birth of their republic. Yeah, but, you know, it's still a little morbid.
Birth of democracy in republics in Western civilization. But yeah, and they also released the nut houses that were held in the prison, which was
really
the Bastille. That's what the Bastille is.
Oh, that's what they did then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
So it was
but they don't still, like, they don't still release the nut houses. Like,
No. But they dress up people like crazy people and walk them through the streets in the parade. Yeah. They reenact it a little bit. So it's a wild, but yeah, very, very hectic time if you're ever in Paris during that. But we have Memorial Day. And I don't know how people are in other parts of the country. There's people in the South that keep, like, a closet just full of fireworks, just in case.
I bet, yeah.
Like, when the Saints won the Super Bowl, fireworks went off all across the South. And not because, you know, like, oh, there was nowhere to buy them. People just literally keep them. Like, you'll be walking, somebody will be like, oh, I'm changing. And you're talking to them. You're like, are those fireworks? Just keep them in case, you know? Some Roman candles, some mortar shells, just whatever, man. A couple of Black Cat packs. It's crazy, man. Just because you never know when you're going to need fireworks. Kids love it.
You never know. If you're in New Orleans, any occasion calls for it, apparently.
Kids love it, too. But the parents, you got to keep counting the fireworks because we'd always try to sneak into, you know, the closet and steal some fireworks just on a random day to go shoot them off. No, you got to be careful with the kids, you know. But
yeah, like when I was in high school, like one of my friends would like every couple of months, he would drive down. Like, you could either go like north to Neptune Fireworks in Dania, or south to Phantom Fireworks down in the Keys, where they had like the good stuff, like the stuff that's like, it's legal to sell it, but it's not legal to detonate it.
Right.
But like, people still do it. So like, you know, I lived in like South Dade. So my high school friend would, like, every couple months, he would drive down to Phantom Fireworks in the Keys and he would pick up all the bottle rockets and M80s and mortar shells and stuff. But yeah, we would just set them off like on a random afternoon after school.
Can't wait till it gets dark. Yeah. Come on, man.
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, a bottle rocket is best at 3 p.m. It's the prime time for that.